Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Worship Him. Tell Him how much you love Him. Express your gratitude to Jesus. Honor Him. Extol His majesty. Thank you, precious Father. Thank you, precious Redeemer. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for the souls won. Thank you for the mighty things you are doing. Your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Our time is fast spent. God bless you. Thank you so much. And so tonight, I'll be sharing with us briefly on the sovereign name of Jesus Christ. I want you to learn and to apply the name of Jesus in your everyday life because you will need it. Where we are going to now, everybody must know God for themselves and must know what to do to activate spiritual possibilities for themselves. But this is just an announcement before I delve into the teaching. You have a testimony, you want us to take it by Sunday during the Thanksgiving. If it's something you want us to call you up to share, you can let us know. You submit your testimony, we'll call you up. And if it's something that is heavy, and somebody came to me and said, when I gave the prophetic word, he sold 4 buildings in 3 days, and for security reasons, it can't be announced. So if we shouldn't announce it for security reasons, you let us know. We'll just read it out with one of your name and we will not announce it. Praise God. Another person got access to over 150 hectares of land. Do you know what that means? That's in billions. And you know, some testimonies, because of the world we are in now, you don't want to announce a testimony that puts the person at risk. So there are some testimonies. You just send us the details. We'll read it out so people will know, and we'll give God praise for what he's doing. So you want to share your testimonies on Sunday. We'll do a bit of testimony night, and then we'll praise the name of the Lord, and we proceed. But tonight, I want to teach you something that will help you in your everyday life. Praise God. And so we will study the name of Jesus tonight. There are 6 things I'll be sharing with us. But before I go into that, I want you to understand this and put it at the back of your mind. Every time the study of God is considered, there are 3 primary things that we must learn. The first is the nature and the character of God. The second is the possibilities and the capabilities of God. And the third is the will of God highlighted in the context of the teaching or the emphasis. There is no way God can be taught, the subject of God can be taught, without his nature being captured and communicated, his possibilities and capabilities being communicated, or his will being communicated. The reason is because only by apprehending these three can such a teaching be beneficial to us. The nature and the character of God is discerned in the course of the teaching. The capacities and the capabilities of God are believed, and then the will of God is understood and aligned to. If you don't assume that disposition, that teaching will not profit you. And in order for that teaching to profit you, for the nature of God to be discerned, for the capacities of God to be believed, and for the will of God to be understood and aligned to, where you gain profit, the nature of God must be taught. The capacities of God must be communicated, and the will of God must be communicated. So these will be the three things that will stand out in our attempt to understand the name of Jesus. You may not have to leave here and cram anything. At the end of the day, when you leave here, you should be able to perceive different expressions of God's character and nature, and you should be able to come to terms with his capacities to a point where you can believe him for something tangible in your life, and then you must also discern his will and align with it. If you do that, then you have understood what I'm about to teach. However, I also need to add this quickly, that in dealing with spiritual realities, there are three realms that you will interact with. Number one is the realm of perception. Number two is the realm of understanding. And number three is the realm of obedience. That means what I'll be teaching you here tonight, some of you will perceive, some of you will understand, and some of you will have a demand to obey. Why is this important? Again, I want to highlight. The realm of perception is a realm of awareness. And when you become aware of a spiritual reality, usually your emotions are the most active participants in this realm. As beautiful as this is, you will be left with a lot of uncertainties. This is why a lot of people hear about prayer. They are excited about prayer until they have a need. That prayer they love so much, that prayer posture they assume, that prayer power they talk about, they seem not to be able to administer prayer in dealing with that challenge. So they only perceived prayer and they ran with it. The realm of perception is the first realm in spiritual engagement, but the realm of perception is not enough. You must journey from the realm of perception, which is an emotional realm, to the realm of understanding. When you get to the realm of understanding, you, as beautiful as emotions are, and God works with emotions, don't get me wrong. The Bible said, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. So God deals with emotions. The Bible said, God speaking to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, he said, he has seen the cry of the people of Israel. So God understands your emotion. But over and above your emotion, in order to become an authority in the subject of spiritual realities, you must journey from emotion to the realm of understanding. When you get to the realm of understanding, you begin to deal with spiritual facts. You want to know how things work, and then you apply those things and you check the results and the outcomes of your spiritual engagements. You are not just excited about the euphoria that comes with spiritual engagement. You are interested in the efficacy in deploying spiritual engagement. When you get to that realm, you have migrated from perception to understanding. Why the realm of perception is highly emotional and is just a realm of awareness, the realm of understanding is highly factual. And it's a realm of spiritual and cognitive understanding. It's beyond I pray. It's beyond I enjoy praying under an atmosphere. It's beyond I preach in a certain way. It's beyond I love this kind of preaching. Now you are listening to a message, you are finding the facts and how you will apply it and get results in your life. For example, I may preach more charismatic than Catherine Kuhlman, But the results of Catherine Kuhlman till date are a dream. I can only imagine. So beyond the preaching and the sensation, there is a level of understanding she's gotten into that makes her command a result I can only dream of. And so if I want to grow, even though I appreciate certain kinds of emotion, I need to move from those emotions and find out, what does this woman know that makes her command the level of result she commands? That's the level of understanding. And as you journey in maturity, you will come to that level. So you move from the realm of perception, which is emotional, to the realm of understanding, which is a realm of facts. And the reason I'm explaining this tonight is because I may not be overly emotional, but if you get the facts of this teaching, you will discover that your life would have transited. Number three, when you get to the realm of understanding, there is yet another realm. It's called the realm of obedience. The realm of obedience is the realm of convictions. The realm of perception is an emotional realm. The realm of understanding is a factual realm. The realm of obedience is a realm of convictions. That's where you have handled what you know. And it's at that level that you can command results in this kingdom. 3 days ago, I came back from my campaigns. And when I got back, suddenly I discovered my body broke down. My body broke down. I stood up, I discovered every part of my body was aching. Even this part of my leg was aching. I tell her, was there pain there since? How come I didn't notice? The body had collapsed. I tried to stand up. I discovered all my joints was weak. That was when it dawned on me that I understood the principle of rest in divine health, but I violated it. So even though, you know, I've taught you before that sick is babes that are sick. I taught you that, right? So my violation of the laws of divine health is a babyish act. And because I engage in a babyish act, I began to suffer what babies suffer. And my body broke down. Now that my body broke down, I had to go back to the scriptures that I have taught others that gave them healing. Remember, when I came from Enugu, more than 300 people were healed. But I came back and I broke down in less than 24 hours. I had to start meditating on the scriptures I taught them. And I laid down meditating on that scripture. There was paracetamol. There was amatin. I'm trying to explain obedience. I understand how the scriptures work. But it will take obedience for conviction to be formed. There's nothing wrong in taking drugs. But if I don't do certain things, when I come to certain places, I will be afraid whether what I'm teaching will work or not. So I had to become the lab rat. And so paracetamol was there for the whole day. My head was aching. And I was saying, by his stripes, I was healed. And I was telling myself, if I was healed, then taking this drug means I'm trying to be healed. That means I am undermining the scripture I'm quoting. So I was between linguistics. Is it I was healed or I will be healed? Or I shall be healed. And so we argued linguistics from morning till night. Did you see that video from Zambia? I did it with fever. That's why my face looked like that. It's not burdens. By his stripes, I was healed. I meditate on, suddenly that scripture became so deep. I meditated on that scripture till night. When it was not working because my body was weak, I had to support myself with a message of another man of God. Be joking. So I started listening to Andrew Womack on divine health. I was listening. And then Andrew Womack now brought something that I forgot. And he said, if you claim that you are healed, why are you now acting like a sick person? Ah! I said, I thought I knew this. I jumped out of my bed with cold. I started dancing. I was dancing like a funny man. Every step I was taking was just to act healing. Healing that I thought and saw less than 24 hours ago. Because it will take obedience for conviction to be formed. There is a realm of perception. You heard the scripture. You heard that by his stripes you are healed. You are excited. You sank your way home. You will come to another realm called facts. You will leave the emotions and apply the reality. And then you will move from the realm of facts to the realm of obedience. where yourself will be demanded to put what you think you believe to work. And many times it will take long. When I minister to people under the anointing, their healing is instantaneous. But I discovered the pains in my body took more than 48 hours to go. I now started wondering, these people that come out and say pain is gone, is it true? The Lord now told me there are two different mechanisms. The anointing is not for you, it's for them. And so when I heal them by the anointing, it's rapid. But when I'm dealing with you, your speed is dependent on your light. And so if your light does not increase, it will take time. And I sat there, I kept laboring, putting the word of God to work for me to be able to stand up and walk like a normal man again. So there are three realms. That realm of obedience is not exciting. That's why when you finish from excitement, you have to find the facts. Because in the day of trouble, if you fail, it's not because God is not there. It's because your strength is little. And so if you don't know the facts, in the day of trouble, the emotions will vanish. You will discover that when they pray the prayer of faith, what are the principles to apply? Because this time around, there's a mountain standing before you. The proof that you prayed correctly is not sweat. The proof that you prayed correctly is that the mountain must go. If the mountain does not go, your prayer is wrong. That's when you will discover that there is a fact that governs the prayer of faith, not just the excitement. And so what I want to teach you tonight, I beg you, beyond emotions, listen to the facts. Pick them up, apply them. It says strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. If you don't exercise your senses in this kingdom, you will still be a victim. Regardless of the church you attend, of the man of God you can call at any time, of whichever name or title you call yourself, is the degree to which you submit yourself to the word of God that will help you stand. And so now I know not to tamper with the law of rest. Is it not J.T. Bakare that troubles me all the time? Say, go to a gym, you need to rest. I say, relax, we are lions. I now discover that even lions too, if they violate laws, they will see that they are victims. Praise God. And so tonight, we want to study on the name of Jesus. And so it's important for you to learn the facts. Before I delve into the subject of the name of Jesus, let me explain six things to you about name quickly from spiritual context, so you understand what a name carries before we talk about Jesus. There are five things I want to highlight concerning names. Number one, names are assets in the spirit. Name in the spirit is not just nomenclature for identification. In the spirit, the weight of your name is an asset. And so when people are called in the spirit, they are not just identified. Their stature is invoked. You can call two Michaels in the spirit. They mean different things. Are we together? I'm saying this so that you will know the place of the name of Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, the Bible said, a good name is better than riches. That means in the spiritual realm, names are wealth. A bundle of wealth is accredited to a name. When you call names in the spirit, they convey resources and they convey spiritual possibilities. And those possibilities are called wealth in the spirit. A good name should rather be chosen than great riches. A good name. So when we call a name in the spirit, we are invoking spiritual wealth. Number two, because I have a long way to go and my time is short, I will not overemphasize. Names depict character. In 1 Samuel 25, verse 25, we saw the story of Abigail, who eventually became the wife of David. David sent his men while he was troubled in war, needing help from his own people and his own servants. And this man refused to send help. And so when David heard about it, David came back in anger and vengeance to punish the one that defied the king. And when he came, Abigail ran ahead of the husband and was trying to make intercession on behalf of the husband. And he said something very funny. They said, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial. Even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. His name, they say Nabal is his name, and folly is he. He's a churlish man. And so his name was a revelation of his character. And so in the spirit, when a man is named by a spirit, that name is beyond identification or nomenclature. The name spirits give men is revelatory of their characters. When a spirit calls you a Moses, it means in the spirit you have the character of a deliverer. This is why you cannot afford to pick names from the gutters. If your name is wrong, you have to go and check with the lexicon of eternity and find out what was written concerning you. Your name has to carry your character. And so when we call the name of a being in the spirit, we are invoking the character of that spirit. And you know, the character of God is faithfulness. The character of God is justice and righteousness. The character of God speaks of integrity. So when you call the name of Jesus, it's beyond the religious cliche. When you invoke the name of Jesus, you are invoking the character of God that gives him credibility as the ruler of the universe. It's not something given to a religion. It's actually an investment of the character of God encapsulated in a name. Number three, a name defines your destiny. In Genesis chapter 17 verse 5, God wanted Abraham to be the father of many nations. But as Abraham, he couldn't. And so even though the sovereign God spoke to him, you know, many times we call people fake prophets because they said things, they didn't come to pass. There are many integers. And you have to understand that if some of those integers are not put in place, no matter who spoke to you, it may not come to pass. God himself spoke to Abraham. Abraham could not become. So some of the prophets you call fake are not fake. Some of the things that stopped what was said concerning you from happening is the name that you answer. Because your name is a greater prophecy over you than any word of wisdom a man can give you. A word of wisdom can come to you once in a year, but you answer your name every morning. And your name is failure. And you meet a prophet, he says you are prosperity. And he calls you prosperity once. And every day of your life, they are calling you failure. And you are answering. You are concurring. Because every time you answer your name, you answer the prophecy of that name. And they say failure, you say yes. They say failure, you say yes. And tomorrow you come and blame prophets and pastors. You say all the things they said are lies. They prophesied over me for 10 years. Nothing has happened. Have you checked your name? Even God called Abraham father. He could not become father until God came and said, what is your name? He said, his name is Abraham. He said, no, from today, you shall no longer be called Abraham. Because Abraham means assumed father. Meanwhile, Abraham means father of nations. How can an assumed father become father of nations? God had to change the name for the prophecy to rest. Did you not read about Jacob? How can a supplanter become Israel? The angel wrestled with him all night. When he couldn't walk, he said, what is thy name? And he said, my name is Jacob. He said, no, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou had power with God and has prevailed. Most of you may need to change your names from this service. I'm telling you why your life is going in zigzag. Because your name is a prophecy for your destiny. And the reason it holds sway over you is because you answer it. When they call you, you respond. And when you answer it, even God can't stop it. Because you have agreed to it. You have concurred to it. You have submitted your will to it. So as powerful as God is, he will be immobilized in matters of your destiny. So names are activators of destiny possibilities. Number four, names convey blessings. God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12 from verse 1 to 3, get thee out of thy country, get thee out of thy kindred, get thee out of thy father's house. In blessings I will bless you. He said, nations of the earth shall be blessed because of thee. But Abraham could not become a blessing. Until in Genesis 17 verse 5, his name was changed. So for a man to convey blessings, his name must concur to the demands of that blessing. And number five, names transmit authority. In Matthew 16 verse 18, Jesus said from verse 16, who do men say I, the Son of Man, I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. He now said, Simon, son of Barjona. He recognized that he was called Simon. But when he wanted to speak about prophecy, he said, thou art Peter. How do you say Simon, son of Barjona? And then you go further, you say, thou art Peter.
See, when a spiritually intelligent man is functioning, pay attention. You may be reading scriptures in a hurry. What is going on there is a transaction that is deeper than time. He didn't say he will build the church on Peter. But he's saying that the man who can head the church cannot be Simon. Simon means a reed. He fluctuates. Peter is a rock. And so he said, Simon, son of Barjona, thou art Peter. Upon this revelation, I will build my church. So, Barjona, son of Barjona, caught the revelation. But the one that will lead the church has to become Peter. The church is built on the revelation of Christ. But the leader of the church cannot be Simon. A man who fluctuates cannot lead the church of Jesus. You need a man who is as stable as the revelation that was caught. So Jesus renamed Simon as Peter for him to become the head of the church. There are certain levels of authority that cannot be committed to you because of the name that you answer. And you may think it's a joke. If God of heaven obey this principle, don't put your life to test. If you put your life to test, you will suffer a great deal. He did it in the Old Testament. He did it in the New Testament. Even Paul's name was changed from Saul to Paul. Because names carry authority. Some of you may need to call yourself kings if you discover that your lineage, everybody is a slave. People will say you are overhyping yourself. Bro, when you are 90 years old, you will discover things in life that will make you know that when you take destiny decisions, you don't bring sentiment to the table. It doesn't matter what they think or say. If what you are doing, God approves of it, go forward. By the time God announces, elevates, and stabilizes you, you will become a blessing even to those who fought you. But if you allow sentiment subdue you, at the end of the day, both you and they will waste. You can't try that. It's not allowed. And so names are very important and powerful realities in the spirit. Now, this is not the name of God. This is about men we are talking. Now, imagine what happens if you understand the name of Jesus and you invoke it. I'm trying to help somebody to stop relating with the name of Jesus as a religious cliche. That when there is a challenge, it just says Jesus. No. When you say Jesus is beyond the nomenclature. When you say Jesus is beyond identifying somebody. When you say Jesus, a lot is mobilized. Let me explain another thing to you. Number two, see how Jesus regarded the name of the Father. Remember, when Jesus came into the world, he came to represent the Father. There are two things Jesus said that made me to begin to think again what God sees and how he considers names in the spirit. In John chapter 17, from verse 6, Jesus summarized his whole ministry. The ministry of Jesus Christ was summarized in one verse. And this was what Jesus called his ministry. A manifestation of the name of God. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me from the world. So Jesus summarized his whole earthly ministry as a manifestation of the name of the Father. The miracles, the raising of the dead, the preaching of the kingdom, everything he did, he called it manifesting the name of the Father to the disciples. That's how powerful names mean in the spirit. Number two, see what Jesus said in John 7 verse 12. I don't have time. That's why I'm teaching like this, so that you can get the facts. Are we together? John 7 verse 12. Jesus also said something that was amazing. I thought Jesus was wise. I thought Jesus was strategic. I thought Jesus was smart. Yes, he is all of that and much more. But this is how Jesus preserved his disciples. He said, and there was John 17 verse 12, please. John 17 verse 12. See what Jesus said. My God. He said, concerning all that you have given to me, I have kept them by the power of thy name. That means the force that preserved everybody that came under Jesus' covering was not his wisdom. Everybody that came under Jesus' covering did not become relevant and fulfill destiny just because Jesus was wise. They became relevant and they fulfilled destiny because there was a power, an invincible power at work in the life of Jesus. It was called the name of the Father. The name that was named upon him. That's what kept the people. So when you come to a system, what will preserve you is the name that they represent in the spirit. If a people have no name, they are in trouble. If a people have no name, that means the primary covering of a people is not the anointing of the man. It's not the stature of the man. It's the name that he represents in the spirit. If a man represents faith in the spirit, faith will be a natural byproduct of everybody connected to that system. You will find them prospering as though there are no limitations in life. If a man's name in the spirit is anointing, everybody operating there, you will discover that they will flow naturally. And you'll be wondering, what is the technology at work? The name is lived out through the people. He said, I have kept them by the power of thy name. The only person that was lost was the son of perdition. And the reason is for the scriptures to be fulfilled. That's how powerful names are. Jesus' ministry was an expression of the name of the Father. And Jesus' exploit was a function of the name of the Father. Now, when God wanted Jesus to leave this world, the first token he left for humanity was his name. Because he knows that if we have the name that made Jesus succeed, then we will equally succeed as much as Jesus did. Because if Jesus' ministry was a summary of the name of God, and Jesus succeeded because of the name of God, anyone who carries that name will succeed. Remember, if I give you my ATM card now with the password, you don't need to know how money is made. I was talking to some people that work with me recently, and I said, have you seen 1,000 naira on a tree before? Because the way you relate with money, it looks as if you pull yours from a tree. Because if you don't know how to labor for it, 10,000, you just use it in 5 minutes. You say 30,000. In fact, when you are pronouncing it, there's a way you go with the pronunciation. 50,000, 95,000. Because to you it's number. But the person who labored for it knows every kobo in that 95,000. For you, 95,000 is a figure. The one who labored, that 95,000 is made up of many kobos, and he knows all the kobo. But the point I'm making tonight is, when you are given the name, it's like the password to an ATM card. All you need to do is to make withdrawals. But if you don't know what that name is, you can discard the ATM and you'll still be struggling. Whereas your answer is with you. The problem of believers most of the times is they don't know what works in the spirit. And even when you tell them, they've not taken time to study the efficacy of these things. So they trivialize the things that should make them. I was sharing somewhere. I went for the meeting. I shared the word of God. I made declarations while I was preaching. Some persons didn't receive anything I shared. They were waiting for me by the door. As far as they are concerned, they must touch my suit. Some will remove your button, pull it out, and take it home. The last one I went for in Kaduna, they mocked me. When they couldn't touch me, they jumped on themselves. And instead of me laying hands on them, they started laying on me. Because that was the only window they had. I started hearing hands on my head. I had to, thank God I'm an athlete. I had to quickly go down to take cover. What is going on? The people were laying hands on me to receive. I thought, meanwhile, this was the subject I taught, wielding the powers of the ages to come. I spoke about the dynamics of power, but they didn't take what I taught. They were brainwashed to think that when they touch me, that emotional feeling, some will touch you and then go and hide somewhere. And then because we too love those kinds of things, we begin to teach messages that direct people to us, not to Jesus. These things are not emotional, but these are the things the apostles knew. Every one of them knew they carried the name of God. And when they step out, I will show you some things. Don't worry. Let's take it gradually. Let me give you a little understanding of the investment in the name that we are about to talk about. Because the name of Jesus is actually the summation of all the names of God. The name of Jesus is a summary of every name God was ever called. That's why after Jesus, God has no other name. He summarized the totality of his being into Jesus. And he summarized the totality of his name into the name of Jesus. So when you call the name of Jesus, you are actually calling every name God ever had. If we call any other name, it's just because we want to specifically address something or move in a prophetic direction. But when we call the name of Jesus, it's a summation of every name God was ever called. And in order not to leave you in the state of assumption, let me just explain few names of God so you look at the wealth that is trapped in the name of God. Meanwhile, the apostles of old, the fathers of old, they knew these truths. When they have encounters with God, the only way they can trap it is through the capsule of names. Because they know that these encounters they have is not only for them. They need to hand it over to their children. And so when they have encounters with God, the only way they can preserve the weight of that encounter is to give that encounter a name. Anywhere they call that name, the possibilities of that encounter is activated. And so when Abraham met God, the supplier of all that he ever needed, he called him El Shaddai. Every time a patriarch in Israel is about to sleep, he blesses the children of Israel with El Shaddai. That means if I invoke El Shaddai, the same things Abraham met will reach you too. And when God himself appeared to Moses, he called himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means that lineage knew him as El Shaddai. And now that he's about to carry out a new operation, he brought a new name. I am now Yahweh. I am now Jehovah. I am that I am. That means the dimensions of God are actually encapsulated in his name. Every name you call is a dimension. Every name you call is an encounter. Every name you call is a possibility in the spirit. And just for you to understand a few, meanwhile, that's not all there is. Because God is much more than what the Bible wrote about him. What the Bible wrote is what the sons of men are able to capture. And because it will take a lifetime for us to understand all his dimensions, that's why he decided to come bodily in Jesus Christ. And so when you call Jesus, all the names in the Old Testament and the ones into eternity that you may not have known is compressed together in the person of Jesus Christ. When you undermine that name, you do it at your loss. And if you understand that name, blessed art thou, you have just been summoned into the victorious life. This is more important than any impartation you will receive from anywhere. But many don't know these things. Simple, basic, yet not understood. Number one, Elohim. I begin with Elohim. It's the first name in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The name Elohim represents three things. Number one, it represents the almightiness of God. And that almightiness was revealed in the fact that he had the power to create all things from nothing. And so when you call Elohim, you are calling God the most powerful entity that will ever be. Not just the one that was, the one that will ever be. Because all things were created by Elohim. So Elohim is representative of might in the spirit. Number two, Elohim is a mystery. The singular form of Elohim is Eloha. Elohim is a revelation of the multiple expression of God in singularity. That means God is a mystery. So when you invoke Elohim, you are invoking something that is beyond the cognitive realm. Three existing as one. Because in that scripture, it said. God spoke the word and the spirit moved upon the water. So the Trinity was revealed, but it was revealed as one being. So Elohim is a representation of the mystical, unfathomable expanse and possibilities of God. Is that bogus? Captured only in Elohim. And number three, Elohim represents God's right to possess all things. It is in the context of Elohim that God is called the owner of all things. And so when you invoke Elohim alone, you invoke the might of God. When you invoke Elohim alone, you invoke the mysteries of God. If you invoke Elohim alone, you invoke the right of God to possessing all things. That's the sovereignty of God. All of that is captured in just one name. And then you go further, and then you find El Shaddai. All of these are the Elohimistic names of God. That's how theologians call it. El Shaddai reveals also the almightiness of God, but in this context, is in the context of his ability to provide. And not just provide, but provide all from nothing. I have 1,001 scriptures here, but I can't read them. We are out of time. I'm just explaining them to you so you understand the weight of what we are communicating. El Shaddai means God has the capacity to provide even when there is nothing. This is why when Jesus taught prayer, he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Your source is not earth. Your source is not your job. Your source is not your salary. Your source is not the human connections you have. All of those things are channels God chooses to bless you. But in case those channels are not there, God will still bless you. Because when Elijah was separated from every known channel in his world, God invoked the raven to bless him. When people were worshiping God and they said stop, he said even if you stop, the stones will rise. Because as El Shaddai, he has the capacity to provide everything from nothing. He's the ultimate provider. That's the revelation of the El Shaddai. And that's why God revealed himself to Abraham as El Shaddai. Barring his wife, barring himself, impotent, yet a child came out. From where did this child come? That means childbearing is beyond biological laws. Biological laws are a channel. But when biological laws are not invoked, God can still show up. He can show up and do everything out of nothing. And to make it even more glaring, an angel came to Mary and said, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And he said, "You will be with child, and his name shall be called Jesus." How will a woman without a seed be with child? He said, "I know not a man." And he said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you." Those are the El Shaddai dimensions of God. I created the laws of nature. I created the channels of blessing. But even if they are not there, I can still bless you. I am bigger than the channel. The Bible said, "Give a portion to seven. Give a portion to eight. You know not the evil that come upon the earth." Do you know the meaning of that scripture? Seven means completion and end. Eight means new beginning. What God is telling you is that even if you are in the middle of nowhere, he can produce blessing. That means you may come to where they say everything is finished. He can bless you. You can come to where everything is starting from. He can still bless you. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. He is at the end and at the beginning at the same time. So there is no time in your life that you can be disadvantaged. It is all captured in the revelation of the El Shaddai. How can you now walk about and walk in fear and walk in anxiety and say nothing is working? If you tell yourself nothing is working, the question we should ask you is, have you heard about El Shaddai? Because El Shaddai produces everything out of nothing. That's the revelation. Number three, El Elyon. El Elyon reveals him as the Most High. And if you study height in the spirit, it's not actually how high. Height in the spirit speaks of authority. That's why the Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. So when he reveals God as the Most High, it means he has the absolute authority to rule over creation. He has the absolute authority over every circumstance in nature. He has the absolute authority over every condition and every circumstance you can ever go through. When you are going through a challenge, all you need is to remember that it's called El Elyon. I wish I could read the scriptures where all of these things are captured. Because when he was referenced as El Elyon in Deuteronomy 26 verse 19, he was talking about Israel being exalted above every nation of the world. so that they can serve El Elyon. That means El Elyon exalts you above everything that tries to undermine the integrity of your existence. Number four, he is called El Roi. El Roi simply means God sees. In the worst situation of your life, God is seeing you and God can find you. Because it was Hagar, the servant of Sarah, that called him El Roi. In Genesis 16, from verse 1 to 14, when she was rejected, when she was kicked out, and there was nothing for her anymore. She dumped her child somewhere. She sat somewhere waiting for death. And suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, there is a well by her side. Get up, go and drink. For your child shall be a prince, and out of him 12 princes shall rise. When she got up from there, she knew that regardless of the circumstance a man is going through, there is a God that sees in secret, sees in crisis, sees in frustration. That means there is no situation that can leave a believer hopeless. There's no situation that can leave a believer frustrated. Because in your worst situation, there is an eye that is in you. And if you know that God is there with you, there is comfort and confidence that comes to you. El Roi is the revelation of the God that sees all things. Number seven. I'm taking time just to list these things because I want to culminate it when I start talking about the name of Jesus. And we know why we exalt the name of Jesus so much. Because many people take the name of Jesus for granted. It has become a religious cliche and it's pathetic. It's pathetic how we treat the name of Jesus. You are talking to somebody about Jesus, you say, okay, that's fine, but what do we do after? We have done everything there is to do. Because when we invoke the name, we invoked all things. We invoke the fullness of God. What do you mean, what do we do after? That means you don't know the name. El Olam. El Olam reveals God as the everlasting God. That is the God that is bigger than time. Him that inhabits eternity. He is before the beginning and he is after the end. That means when you are dealing with God, there is no too early and there's no too late. When you are dealing with God, there is no advantage, there's no disadvantage. He can turn all things to your good, whether good or evil. He is past finding out. He existed before existence, and when existence is over, he's still there. That means God cannot be taken by surprise. Everything you think you are telling God, he's already aware of all the details before it happened. And so when you know that, even your prayers will stop being religious. You know, Jesus was talking about the Pharisees. He said they take pride in repetition because they think they will be heard in their mouth speaking. When you know that he is El Olam, before you speak, you know he knows what you are saying. That's why you see when people begin to grow in maturity, their prayers become more of thanksgiving. Because they know that before they speak, he has heard. While they are yet talking, he will appear. If you have not gotten to that level, it's because you are still limited in the revelation of God. And all of these things are just a revelation of the L dimensions of God. Those days when I was much younger, I used to take pride in my name, Michael. Because we came up, you know, we were just crazy about Bible. We came up and we told people that the only names that have insurance in the kingdom are names that end with L. Because the name of God is L. So if you are not Michael, you are not Gabriel, you are not Raphael, anything can happen, no matter how high you are. In fact, we told them, even Lucifer, the archangel, because God knew he will fall, he didn't put L in his name. That's why he fell. Because if there was L in his name, there's no way he would have fallen. Because L cannot be in Hades. Oh, we will do all kinds of things with scriptures. L is the name of God. Praise God. And so you have El Gibo. El Gibo speaks of God as the mighty God of strength, a warrior. As warrior, he has the capacity to fight all your battles and to win for you. This is why many times in scripture you hear God tell you, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. It says, stand, see, and see the salvation of God. Wait, and your God will fight your battles for you. He's talking about the El Gibor character of God. Remember, I told you when names are called, they invoke what? Character and nature. They invoke what? The will of God. And they also invoke the capacities of God. And so in some of these names, you will see his consistency in faithfulness. You will see his consistency in power. And you see his consistency in outlining even his will through his name. And then when you are done with the L dimensions of his name, then you have another syllabus of the Yahweh dimension or the Jehovahistic dimensions. God took time to reveal this to Israel because he wanted every generation to understand his character, his capacities, and his will, because his name conveyed them. Remember, these are a people learning the ways of God afresh. So they didn't know what to expect from God. They didn't know what God could do. And most times when God wrought a great miracle, he will tell them, say these things to your children and write it, let it become a memorial forever. Because it's possible for them to forget. That's why most of these dimensions are locked and trapped in names. Our generation is not taught the many dimensions of God that is encapsulated in his name. And so when we just wake up, we carry the name of God, trivialize it. Somebody is doing something wrong and he dares to call Jesus. He is carrying out evil and is calling Jesus. And then you ask him, it means nothing to him. Because the name was not taught before it was given. And we have not taken our time to expound and to explain to people the place and the excellency of the name of God. As I come to the apostolic era, I will show you how these people preached the name of Jesus. They preached it as a message and as a doctrine for people to understand the place of the name, that by that name they could see the nature of God, by that name they could see the power and the authority of God, and by that name they could also see the will of God. They preached it as a message. Why we are here preaching prosperity? The early church preached the name of Jesus much more than they ever preached prosperity. Because they knew the things that were spiritual assets. I just talk about three names of God as Jehovah and I move forward. Number one, as Jehovah, in Exodus 3:14, where he introduced himself as I am that I am, the people of Israel called it Yahweh. Because they couldn't call the full expression, they were afraid. Because they felt the name was too holy to be mentioned. So usually they won't pronounce it. Praise God. But as Yahweh, it represented three things. Number one, that God is ever present. And because God is ever present, they were scared of evil to death. Because everything you are doing in the presence of God. And this ever-present God, they also knew that number two, he was a judge. He was not just merciful, but he was a judge. So they knew him as a judge. This is why anytime God shows up as a deliverer, he was called Jehovah. The reason is because he comes to judge according to justice and righteousness. And deliverance is one of the channels by which the judgment of God was brought to a territory. And so they recognize him as the just judge of all. Number three, as Jehovah, they saw him as the guardian, the leader, and the custodian of eternal purpose and ordination. And so everything they wanted to do and do correctly, they consulted with Jehovah, who was their roadmap to destiny. They didn't walk into destiny by their mentality. They didn't walk into destiny by their wisdom. They didn't walk into destiny by their culture and tradition. They walked into destiny by the leading of Jehovah, the God that guides. Number two, they knew him as Jehovah Jireh. As Jehovah Jireh, they saw this just God as one that could be seen. And because he could be seen, he could provide. And so in Genesis chapter 22 from verse 14, when Abraham wanted to sacrifice Isaac And he said, touch not the lad. He said, behold, there is a lamb, sacrifice him. He said, Jehovah Jireh. That means, upon this mount, the Lord shall be seen. This is why Jesus said concerning Abraham, Abraham, your father saw my day and rejoiced in it. Because Abraham knew what the sacrifice of the son meant. So he knew what the cross of Jesus was about. Because on that mountain, God allowed him to enter his heart to see the pains he took a father to give his son for the sins of humanity. So God allowed Abraham access into the dimensions of God. So Jehovah Jireh is beyond God provides. It actually means upon the mountain of God he shall be seen. And so every time a man is granted access into the mysteries of the kingdom, he is interacting with Jireh. A man who doesn't know Jehovah Jireh, spiritual things will be locked from him, because he's the one that shows you the oracles of God. And so Israel understood these things, and they knew it so much that when they stepped out, they invoked these things according to what they are looking for per time. When Isaac was blessing his children in Genesis 49, verse 24 and 25, when he spoke about God defending them and God blessing them, he used different names for God. The Almighty defend you, El Shaddai provide for you. They knew these things. They didn't just call God carelessly. They knew every time the name of God was invoked, something was to be done. So for them, faith is natural. For you, faith is a cliche, because you don't know the name you are using as a seal for faith. If you know the name you are using, when you invoke that name, you will stop looking at your challenge. You will start looking at the result. That's why Paul said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. Because if I invoke El Shaddai, why will I still be concerned about my lack? The moment I call El Shaddai, I know everything I need is already provided. So I begin to look in expectation for what God will bring on the scene. But if you don't know these things, for you, faith will still be a theory. This is why they teach these things. They taught it to their children. They carried it from one generation to another generation. Number three, he's called Jehovah Nissi. That means the Lord is our banner. When they were fighting in Genesis 17, and the Amalekites were about to defeat them, God said Abraham should lift up his hand, Moses, upon the mountain. And so long as the hand of Moses was lifted, Joshua and his army defeated Israel. When the hand of Moses came down, they began to lose. On that mountain, he was called Jehovah Nissi. That means, under the covering of God, we are eternally victorious. Every time a man is under the covering of God, strategies are beautiful. But in case my strategy fails, there is something shielding me beyond my strategy. Understanding is good. Human connection is good. But in case these things fail, I will not be hopeless. The hand of God is a covering over me. Like the mother hen over the chick. That is how God surrounds them. So they carried that name everywhere they went. And this is why Israel can go to war with stones. You can be coming with a chariot of army. They are coming with stones. How can stone fight arrows? There is a covering. They know that if they invoke that name, God becomes a covering over them. Because that name is an activation of a dimension. Do you see how spiritual these people were? They were so spiritual that you could read the Bible and not even discern it. Because you will need to understand how they live their everyday lives. These guys are walking through the desert and they never have lack. And then you are wondering, how is it so? They know beyond human intelligence, they know Shaddai. These people fight war, they never lose. You are wondering, how have they succeeded? They know Jehovah Jireh. They know something that is beyond human intelligence. Whereas in our generation today, when you are praying, they say, prayer is enough. Stop praying now. Let's go to work. Which work can you do without prayer? It's because we are not taught spiritual things. We just came to church, we got excited and ran away. Somebody is praying, and while he's yet praying for God to answer, he doesn't even have enough faith to wait on God. The moment he finished praying, he jumps into another thing, because that prayer was a necessary ritual. Himself knew he never believed in that prayer. What he's doing is what his commitment lies with. It's what his allegiance lies with. And you are wondering, why are we not having results like the men of old? This is why. They knew these things and it defined their existence. I give you one last name before I proceed. There are too many of them. Which one do I call now? Okay, Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah means the Lord is there. When they gather together, they know the Lord is there. And so as far as they are concerned, everywhere they gather becomes an invincible fortress. They know that their safety is not outside of their gathering. If you find Israel moving, they are moving as a company because they know that the shout of the king dwells in their midst. As far as they are together, or so long as they are together, they are invincible. They become vulnerable when they are divided. But see our church today. Our strength is in our division. Everybody wants to be an individual giant. We cannot coexist for even a moment. The moment we gather together, you find malice, you find hatred, you find backbiting. And when we are separated, everybody begins to wield the stone, the shield, and the scepter he thinks he carries. We are most vulnerable when we are separated. That's why the Bible said, behold how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. The reason these people knew these things and it became their culture is because the names they were taught conveyed these things to them as dimensions. And so an Israeli person will give everything it takes to live in unity because he knows that his seeming advantage as an individual is a disadvantage in the face of the crisis of life. So he will rather coexist with somebody, share his ability, and become even with that person, knowing that in that unity there is something greater than his individual ability. But in our own case, we want to run away and stand alone as individual giants. And so when the crisis of life, which is territorial, comes, we become helpless and vulnerable. Helpless and vulnerable. Today we have, thank God Pastor always here, we have the leading musical voices from across the world. When was the last time they gathered together and said, we want to create a sound that will shake Africa? Nobody can think that way. Everybody would rather have his own individual concert. There's an apostolic move rising now. Everybody is establishing headquarters in different territory and doing his own thing. This apostolic move have lasted for over 15 years. They have never gathered together and say, let's have an apostolic convergence. In fact, you know that the leading apostles, they never meet. You will never find them sit somewhere, talk together, or have fellowship anywhere. Everybody has crowd and he stands like a cherubim. And when he talks, he's prophesying over Nigeria. That prophecy will not come to pass because it is born out of individual ambition. The day we are really interested in the body of Christ, we will put our pride aside and meet ourselves and say, I need you as much as you need me. This idea of standing as one giant like an Iroko tree and be decreeing that the body of Christ, things will change, is a joke. Younger believers can clap and be excited. Those who understand the kingdom, they know it's a joke. And this is what has happened in the dispensation that is about to round up. And the baton has been handed to our own dispensation. And the same thing is already happening even when we have not yet appeared. Because we don't have a revelation of Jehovah Shammah. That he doesn't dwell with individuals. He dwells with a company. This is why Israel studied the name of God. He taught them how to live their lives. A brother will rather make peace with you than to win the battle and be justified while you are diminished. He will rather hold you up. Oh God. God will open our understanding. God will open our understanding. There's so much to learn. And so the names of God in the Old Testament captured the nature of God. The names of God in the Old Testament captured the abilities of God. And the names of God in the Old Testament communicated the will of God to God's people. And these guys studied it and they were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Because prophecy captured it that when the Messiah comes, everything ever said about God will appear in him. He is the culmination of the prophecies of God. He is the culmination of the nature of God. He's the culmination of the will of God and is the culmination of all the abilities of God. And true to that prophecy, Jesus showed up. And so when Jesus showed up, one of the ways all of the possibilities of God was put in Christ was through the name that was given to him. The summation of the name of God is twofold in scriptures. Number one is as a savior, and number two is as a Lord. As a savior, he pays the price for the judgment and the evil of humankind so that man can be restored again. As a Lord, he took possession of everything that is man and brought them under the government of God. And so when you study Jesus, the first time the name of Jesus was given, it was given as Savior. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, he said, "You shall be with a child and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." But that was just one aspect of it. It shows the benevolence of God. It shows the price that God is willing to pay to save humanity. The second aspect of that name came in Philippians chapter 2 verse 10. It said, because of what he did, God gave him a name that is above every other name. You'll be thinking God will add another name to him. He said, the name God gave him was called Jesus the Lord. The first name he gave him was Jesus the Savior. The second name he gave him is Jesus the Lord. That means Jesus the Savior and Jesus the Lord is the culmination of everything Elohim represents and everything Jehovah represents. When you call Jesus today, after his resurrection, you are calling Elohim. You are calling El Shaddai. You are calling Jireh. You are calling Shammah. You are calling Tsikenu. You are calling everything that God represents. Jesus becomes an invocation of the totality of the nature of God. Jesus becomes an invocation of the totality of the character of God. Jesus becomes an invocation of the totality of the will of God. Jesus alone is everything God stands for. And we saw that encapsulated when the name Savior and Lord were summed up in one name called Jesus. And what God did was that he didn't take that name to heaven, because it's not needed in heaven. God doesn't need to be named in heaven. No angel calls him a name. They only call him holy. Holy means you are separate. You are in your own class. The only place God needs to be named is on earth. God doesn't need to be named in heaven. And so when Jesus completed the ritual by merging the Elohimistic dimension and the Jehovahistic dimension, and he wanted to leave, he said, take that name. Take that name and go into all the world. And so when I am going into all the world, I'm no longer going into the world as Michael. I'm going into the world as Michael Jesus. When you are going into the world, you are not, your surname is not the natural one alone. You think your surname is the natural name you have. Thank God for that, but that surname is too limited. There's another surname that was given to you. The same way he was named Jesus, the name of the Lord was named over you. And so Jesus, the Son of God, is no longer the only Jesus. Every one of us have become Jesus manifested in the flesh. Not as the Christ, but as the offsprings of the Christ. And so today, you have all we are but to Jesus. Victor Ogbe Jesus. Michael Oroko Jesus. That's how we function now. And that's why sometimes when you show up, even without saying in the name of Jesus, demons begin to flee. Because when you know it enough, the name becomes a garment that you wear. Because the Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It said the righteous runneth therein and they are saved. So we don't only pronounce the name of Jesus. He didn't say at the pronouncement of the name of Jesus. No. He said at the name of Jesus. And so some of us can come pronouncing it. Others can come wearing it. Others can come manifesting it. Whichever way you choose to come, you need to understand that that name has been named upon you. And the reason the name is named upon you is because everything you are now is by the name of Jesus. Everything you are. You cannot be anything in this kingdom without the name of Jesus. Look at these scriptures quickly. See what time is doing. Number one, In 1 John chapter 3 verse 23, it said, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God. That means you believed on the name of Jesus. When we call you a believer, we call you a believer because you believe on the name of Jesus. Number two, salvation is in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So your salvation is in the name of Jesus. Number three, eternal life is in the name of Jesus. In John chapter 20 verse 31, it says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing ye might have life through his name. So the eternal life you have now is by the name of Jesus. Number four, your baptism is in the name of Jesus. In Acts 2:38, it said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So you could not have been baptized without the name of Jesus. Number four, your forgiveness is in the name of Jesus. It said in Acts 10:43, to him give all prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believe shall receive remission of sin. Your sanctification is in the name of Jesus. It said in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye were washed, ye were justified in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit. So you believed in the name, you had eternal life in the name, you received salvation in the name, you were justified and sanctified in the name, you were baptized in the name. Everything about you is the name of Jesus. I make bold to tell you now, that while you are sitting, you are not only wearing suit, you are wearing the name of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible said in Romans 12:13, it said, put on the Lord Jesus. How do you put on the Lord Jesus? You put on the Lord Jesus when you believed. You put on the Lord Jesus when you were forgiven. You put on the Lord Jesus when you were baptized. You put on the Lord Jesus when you received eternal life. You have become a visible expression of Jesus to your world. The same way Jesus came in the name of the Father, and he said, whoever have seen the Father have seen me. Today, whoever have seen you have also seen the Son, because you are wearing the name of Jesus. This is why your life can no longer be taken for granted. You are Jesus in expression. You are Jesus in motion, not as the member of the Godhead, but as an offspring of the Godhead, because the name of the Lord has been named upon you. You are not ordinary. And you are not ordinary because you carry the name of Jesus. When you are going to your office, you go to the office as an expression of the name of Jesus. When you are going for your business, you are going for your business as an expression of the name of Jesus. These are fundamentals of Christianity, but they are not taught. And so you find a believer struggling, and all he can rely on is his brain. Do you know how small your brain is? All he can rely on is his experience. This experience that you acquired in 40 years, do you know how old this world is? And are you aware that the spirits manipulating things in this world are older than this world? They existed before the earth was created. And you are using your 40, 50, 60, or 70 years experience to judge this world. Oh no. There is something older than you that you need to carry. The name that was called Elohim before the foundation of the world is no longer called Elohim. Now it's called Jesus Christ. The name that was called Jehovah before Moses delivered Egypt is no longer called Jehovah. Now it's called Jesus. The name that was called Jireh is no longer called Jireh. Now it's called Jesus. If the Bible is to be summarized, there is one name of God you will see. That name is called Jesus. And can I assure you, that name is no longer in the Bible. That name is now on the tongue of the believers. And so when you want to find the name of Jesus, find out. Come to the believer. You will find the name of Jesus. That's what we preach. That's what we live. That's who we are. That's what defines us. And this is why no circumstance can withstand us. He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. He said, say to this mountain, be thou removed. And if you do not doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. By the name of Jesus, we cast out devils. By the name of Jesus, we cast out mountains. By the name of Jesus, every circumstance is turned around, you are not disadvantaged. You have not just known what you carry. Every one of us today is weaponized, and we are weaponized with the name of Jesus. This is why we have the audacity we have. Imagine the things we say we want to do. How can we try it? You know what it means to say you want to win 5 million souls? How can you try it? How can you enter a city and then you are prophesying over that city? Do you know how many people are in that city? Do you know how many spirits are in that city? But when you come with the name of Jesus, you come with the ancients. If you know this today, there is a deliverance that you will step into. Suddenly, when you are going out and things are going wrong, you say, wait, you enter your room and you say, in the name of Jesus, I change everything. Sometimes while you are saying in the name of Jesus, you are seeing Elohim standing before the foundation of the world, and he said, light be, let there be light. You will invoke that dimension, because that dimension is also in Jesus. Sometimes when you are saying in the name of Jesus, you are imagining God talking to Moses on Horeb, how he's going to confront Pharaoh, and you are going to confront your boss. You say in the name of Jesus, because by that name Moses challenged Pharaoh. When you go to your boss suddenly becomes small. You respect him for his position, but he cannot intimidate you, because you come with something superior to your appointment letter. This is how we rule this world. This is not religion. Demons know that name. Angels know that name. Men know that name. Systems know that name. You, who is the carrier of the name, you are the only one who doesn't know it. The day you know that name, you will discover that demons knew it all the while. The day you know that name, you will discover that angels knew it. The day you know that name, you will be shocked that even nature knows that name. You will now wonder how ignorant you have been all the while. You believe in prayer, but you don't believe in the name of Jesus. You believe in fasting, but you don't believe in the name of Jesus. You believe in the anointing on your man of God, but you don't believe in the name of Jesus. That's why you are where you are. Somebody will leave this service today, and suddenly he will begin to confront everything with the name of Jesus. If Elohim created all things, and Elohim is in Jesus, that means all my circumstances will obey the name of Jesus. If Jehovah is the Lord over everyone, and Jehovah is in Jesus, that means everything around me must obey that name. And so as I go out now, I go out with a new assurance. There's a weapon. Did you not see what Jesus said? He said, in my name, cast out devils. Do you know what it means to cast out? Cast out means molest out, oppress out, kick out, damage them out. He's not saying negotiate with demons. Whether they want it or not, you came with something that the whole demonic realm is subject to. And when he said cast out demon, he didn't put your name there. He didn't put your circumstance there. He didn't put your understanding there. If you know this name, the demons don't respect you. They respect the name. If they choose to respect you, that's good for them. But whether they respect you or not, if you carry the name, just the way ATM has no regard, has no choice but to respect the ATM card, that's how the demons have no choice but to respond to you. There are many circumstances waiting for you to call the name of Jesus. You have never done so. And those of you who are calling, you are not doing it with understanding. Everything God ever is and will ever be is in Jesus Christ. And that time has come for us to preach this truth again. Simple as it is, the outcome, mind-blowing. Acts chapter 4 verse 18. Look at what they were fighting the disciples of the old for. He said, and they called them and commanded them not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus again. They can preach, they can teach, but not in the name of Jesus. They know as simple as this name is causing damage to the whole society. So whatever you do, remove the name of Jesus out of it. If you will, we will give you a chance. It's happening in our world today. Go to FCDA, ask them for land. They can give you land for event center. They can give you land for more. But if you say church, they say no. You can build anything, but not a house where they call Jesus. If they call Jesus there, it's not permitted. You will need all the connection you can to get that house. And in most cases now, you may end up building an event center. You can have fellowship there, but if you go there in the name of Jesus, it will never work. That's the world we are in now. Because they know nothing causes havoc to the demonic realm like the name of Jesus. You can come as an apostle who wants an event center, they will give you. But come as a brother who wants to build a church in the name of Jesus, they will refuse. Because they know a brother with the name of Jesus is more dangerous than an apostle without the name of Jesus. That's why our gospel today carry all the stories without the name of Jesus, and there's no impact. We preach our encounters with archangels. We preach our encounters with cherubims. We preach our encounters with everything. But we never talk about the name of Jesus. You go on Facebook, it's I this, I that, I went, I this. All the gospel has become I. And that's why it is high sounding but powerless. The day the name of Jesus comes back, even if it is ABC we preach, it will change our world. The man knew. This is what they stopped them. Acts 5:40. See what the Bible said. It said, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles together and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus again. Do you know why everybody likes you? They don't hear the name of Jesus on your mouth. You talk about wisdom and relationship, how to manage relationship and make progress in life. You talk about business strategy. You talk about every other thing but the name of Jesus. And so long as it's business, even a Muslim can sit on your message and say, "Kai, this is a wise man. Since I started hearing this man, my business is growing. Since I started hearing this man, my money, my account is increasing. My relationships are in order." When you call the name of Jesus, the first thing that will happen is that some of your relationships will crumble. Many teachers in our generation, all we preach is relationship, riches, wealth. But the things the apostles of old preach, they are no longer there. Because when you preach the name of Jesus, a point will come, you will preach it from the Jehovah dimension. And that's judgment. That's when you will talk about character and morals. And you can look at a generation to the face and say you are a brood of vipers. You can look at a generation to the face and tell them you are wicked men and you have put the name of God to reproach. And you don't care what they think. That's the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus is not just Jesus, it's Jehovah. And when it becomes Jehovah, it's judgment. And there is a time when you will preach the name of Jesus as Sabaoth, the God of war. And when you are preaching it, God will judge the wickedness of men. And you can stand, you'll be the only person, but you can challenge darkness to the face. They may conspire against you, you have done your job. Another time will come, you will preach him as Ra, Jehovah Ra, the God of fire. And when that fire comes, I don't have time, so I don't want to go to those dimensions. But the name must be preached again. Where the whole oracles of God is communicated. Our churches today have become a ground of tolerance. And so we tell men what they want to hear. Even Muslims are comfortable in our services. They carry our messages in their MP3. They hear, but there's nothing touching their conscience and their heart. They will hear our message for 1 month. At best, they will apply principles and succeed, and we are more popular. But we have no power where things matter. The days of the apostles will come again. The men that can judge iniquity to the face. The days of the apostles, it will come again. The men that can defy status quo. And for them, to live is Christ. To die is gain. It's been a long time we found men on the scene who can judge iniquity to the face. Naked people come to church and we clap hands for them. Because the name of Jesus is not there. When the name of Jesus comes, it will purge men. It will purge men. It will purge men. It will purge. It will purge. The name of Jesus will come again. And there is a time it will come, it will be a judge. And when you fornicate in church, you will die on the altar. And when you die, they will bury you. Service will continue. That time. time when people come to church and we manage their iniquity, clap hands for them because they are giving 1 million. It's over. If the money finishes, we will go back to the hut and be praying there. Because it's not only this cream that makes church church. It's the name of Jesus that makes church church. He said, when you are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Somebody tell your neighbor, we need the name of Jesus again. Even demons don't fear us anymore. Imagine a politician now teaching pastors how church should run. A politician. More righteous in all standards than the people who say they are in ministry. A politician is telling pastors that if I don't follow the laws of the church, if I come when I shouldn't come, don't bring me to the front. Rebuke me and put me at the back. A politician. Because if we see him in front, it will validate our gathering. And so we can't tell people the truth anymore. And the gates are becoming porous. You can't find anybody in government that can stand his ground and say, no, restore. You can't find anybody in the economy that can say, no, restore. Because the name of Jesus is no more. But that time has come again where we will teach it precept upon precept, lines upon lines. We will take one lexicon and deal with it. When we are looking at Jesus, the Jehovah, we will talk about the judgments of Elohim. What God does to men in time and in eternity. Because he's not just God of mercy. He's also the righteous judge of all. Hey, 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 hey. May God not allow me to be popular at the expense of the true gospel. We will preach the true gospel and remain oblivious to our generation. But everyone that hears us will be righteous. God forbid that a sinner sits on your message and remains where he is. God forbid that you say you are preaching the gospel, that a Muslim will clap hands and say you are a good minister, whereas he's still a Muslim. Even if they refuse to repent, let it be a battle with their conscience. Today, we try to use the gospel to remove people from guilt, and we don't stop them from the action that created guilt, not knowing that that guilt is an alarm system. If you have not stopped the action, you have no right for the guilt to be removed. So long as that action is there, the guilt must remain. The guilt should only go when you have repented from the action. But we manage people in iniquity, keep them in error. The true apostles will rise again. Sit down. Let's round up. Tonight is a calm night. Four things you must do about the name. Number one, you must believe it. Number two, you must magnify it. Number three, you must deploy it. And number four, you must live for it. I don't have time to talk about that again. Check your scriptures and you will see that. And so right now, I want to bless you for the month of July. In the name of Jesus, go forward and prosper. Everything righteous you lay your hands to do this month is commanded to prosper. I decree your adversities are turned. Your captivity is turned. Every limitation you suffered from January, in this month of July, fly over them. I decree concerning you, this month is your month of visitation. In the name of Jesus Christ, every pending vision, every pending project, everything you have been trusting God for, receive the grace to bring it to pass. I speak against every powers attacking families, attacking marriages. In the name of Jesus, be uprooted now. I decree concerning you, the forces of wickedness cutting men short, it shall not come near your dwelling. You will not be kidnapped. You will not be a victim of wickedness. The hand of God is upon you for preservation. Your going out and your coming in is blessed. Everything belonging to you that is withheld, receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. You will receive testimonies of restoration, testimonies of breakthroughs. And I speak to your spirit, let new fountains open up. Let new fountains open up. Let new dimensions be activated. Let new graces be activated. The favor you need for this month, receive it in the name of Jesus. Every destiny helper that you have missed in a lifetime, I decree that in this month, their steps are ordered to you. Their steps are ordered to you. And every king that should favor you, they lose their sleep until they remember you. In the name of Jesus, I decree concerning you, you shall lose nothing in this month. No member of your family will die. No curse over your family will stand. I proclaim concerning you the peace of the Most High God. And I decree this month, you are marked out for exemption. You are marked out for distinction. You are marked out for excellence. And with your mouth, you will testify of the goodness of God. You have heard many people testify. This is your month of testimonies. You have heard many people proclaim of the goodness of God. This is your month of testimony. You will not just clap hand for others. Men will clap for you. In the name of Jesus. I see most of you possessing assets in this month. Some of you have rented houses for years. You have rented things you've used for years. But in this month, you will become a possessor of assets. You will become a possessor of assets. In the name of Jesus. I see people that their pockets have been leaking. You have been unable to do savings. You have nothing to your name. In this month, you will not only save, but you will be established. You will be established. You will be established in the name of Jesus. And I decree concerning you, there will be a revival in your spirit in this month. You will press into God like you have never done before. You will have encounters like you've never had before. You will receive impartations like you've never received before. And the grace of God will answer through your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Every heart desire that you have lost in righteousness, receive your answer now. Receive your answer now. Receive your answer now. A quick work shall the Lord do, and he will cut it short in righteousness. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.